Hello, everyone. Today we will be reading Revelation 13. I invite you all to open up your Bible or Bible apps and follow along as I read the passage. Revelation 13. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea, with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?" And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation, and all who dwell on earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword he must be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence, and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Now, in this chapter, John describes his vision of a battle that is being waged on the earth. There are two different beasts that appear in this vision, and these beasts mirror what the Old Testament prophet Daniel saw in his visions when he was imprisoned in Babylon. Now, going back to the passage in Revelation, the first beast that John sees has some pretty crazy attributes like 10 horns, 7 heads, blasphemous names on its heads, and different animal body parts. We're not going to focus on the physical descriptions of the beast. Instead, let's look at what the first beast is doing. It received power and authority from the dragon from the previous chapter in chapter 12, and it attracts the attention of the whole earth. In verses 3, 4, and 7, they show that the whole earth begins to follow the beast. As the beast begins to rule, it also begins to shout blasphemies against God and believers. Then there is a second beast that arises. The second beast is empowered by the first beast to perform great signs and wonders, and the second beast urges all of its followers to follow the first beast. As we have been saying throughout our Revelation devos, the writer John was writing these visions as a letter to the churches in Asia Minor. These visions spoke to a present reality that believers were experiencing. And at the time of John's vision, many believers would have interpreted the first beast to represent Rome, the ruling imperial power that was oppressing God's people. And as I alluded to earlier, this beast mirrors the beasts that Daniel saw in his visions in the Old Testament. Beasts that represented oppressive kingdoms like Babylon, which carried God's people away into exile. For us, the main point that we glean from this is that this first beast represents the kingdoms and powers that oppose God. Now, there is also a second beast that exalts this kind of power. Through idolization of the first beast and manipulation of people by displaying amazing wonders and signs, and by forcing people into economic dependence on the beasts. The second beast does this by forcing everyone to take on the mark of the beast, 666, on their head and hand. Many people have tried to decipher the meaning of this number, so much so that they might try to interpret and predict who or what this number represents. But what I want to stress is for us to not focus on the actual number, but rather focus on what it symbolizes. The number is put on the head and arm of every person, and the significance of this would not have been missed by Old Testament readers of the day. Devout Jewish readers of the Torah would have had the Shema, a fundamental prayer from Deuteronomy declaring devotion and love to God, literally tied to their head and arm. The Shema, along with other important verses, would have been written on tiny scrolls and put into small leather boxes. And these boxes would be strapped to their head and their arm whenever they prayed. This was a physical reminder and representation of their love and devotion to God, to remember it with their head or minds and through their actions. So the readers of John's letter would have understood what John was saying. The mark of the beast on a person's head or arm is a declaration of devotion to the beast and not to God. Ultimately, these beasts are demanding the allegiance of all peoples, either forcefully or through deception. So what can we learn from this passage? I think the main idea is this. Many will come to deceive, pressure, and persuade people to turn away from God. But we as believers are encouraged to be alert and remain faithful to Him. John's vision shows that this was something that was already happening during his time, and he was encouraging believers and readers of his letter to remain faithful and to persevere in the midst of their current hardships. In the same way, this lesson applies to those of us who follow God right now. We will be pressured to conform to the patterns and powers of this world and to turn away from God. And this could be very overt and obvious, or it could be insidious and subtle. And there's a future reality as well, that these powers will amplify and worsen in the times to come. But let us be encouraged to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Again, Jewish followers of the Torah had a physical symbol that they held onto and put on, one that they strapped onto their head to remind them to devote their whole mind and heart to God, and another one on their arm to remind them to act in devotion to Him. We don't need a physical symbol to do this. But in the same way, let's allow our mind, heart, and actions to be marked by devotion to God. By holding and knowing His word close to us, we are reminded of the truths of who He is and who we are in Him. And by relying on the power of His Holy Spirit, we are able to combat the spiritual forces of the enemy that wage war against our minds and hearts. Let us cling to God, listening to His voice and devoting ourselves to following Jesus, knowing full well that Jesus has already won this victory for us at the cross. And with that, let me pray for us. Lord, we thank You for Your word today. This passage might scare us with images of beasts and even people bearing the mark that swears allegiance with the enemy who goes against You. But God, we thank You that we are Yours. We belong to You. And we remind ourselves that we are in Your able and mighty hands. Guard our hearts against the voices that speak against You, and instead let us lean into Your word to discern Your truth in the midst of lies and deception. Let us lean into Your presence through scripture, prayer, and worship so that we would know Your voice. And as we do that, may You strengthen us against any attack of the enemy by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank You that You have already overcome the enemy, past, present, and future, and so we can have confidence in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.